Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter, beginning with the 22nd verse. The same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why do you ask me my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had any respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my accuser.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust said. Unjust judge says, and will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Three friends decided to go deer hunting together, a lawyer, a doctor, and a preacher. And as they were walking, along came a big buck. We're talking 10-pointer. It's a big boy. Big boy here. The three of them are so excited, they shoot simultaneously. Immediately, the buck drops to the ground, and all three rush up to see just how big this thing actually is. But upon reaching it, an argument starts over whose deer it was. Because all three shot simultaneously, they cannot determine who actually felled the beast. So a heated argument ensues, and a few minutes later, the game warden shows up and asks what the problem is. The doctor, the lawyer, and the preacher told them the story. So the officer takes a moment, examines the buck, and he says with confidence, "It was the preacher that shot the buck." The doctor and the lawyer are gobsmacked. How could you know so quickly? And the game warden responds, "I could tell it was the preacher because the bullet went in one ear and out the other." I do my best to put some work into my preaching, and I hope it doesn't go in one ear and out the other. But I do understand that us preachers these days are up against some pretty tough competition. Quick, short-form media on our phones has destroyed our attention span. The endless scroll of entertainment and dread never ends. The splashy, fear-inducing, never-ending drama of the 24-hour news cycle as well pulls our attention and plays at our heartstrings. Quick hits of dopamine from a quick round of Candy Crush or whatever is on your phone. These are all so tempting. So long-form spoken word oratories like sermons aren't exactly flashy and exciting these days. So maybe if I put something like this up in the background, would this help? Could I just have this going in the back? Hey, pay attention, right? Or maybe this. Do you ever see this one on your, yeah, kinetic sand cutting? Is it just me? Is this just my social media? Anyway. We can't compete these days, right, with what's going on in the world, and I'm hoping that what I'm saying does not go in one ear and out the other. And I actually do know this because I will get people come visit me in the office between Sundays, and they'll say, you know, you mentioned this thing, and it's really sticking with me. So I know the Spirit is continuing the work of the gospel long after our sermons are finished. But Pastor Dana and I, in preparing for sermons, it often feels like we're wrestling with the Word of God. I spend my whole week wrangling with the text, grappling with it, trying to, like a bar rag, wring it out for one last drop of inspiration, holding on tight, not letting go until it blesses me. Come on, God, give me something and I'll let it go. So our Old Testament text from Genesis, it really hits me between the eyes today. Here's a little background on that story of Jacob from Genesis. Jacob is not shy about bending or twisting rules to get what he desires. Jacob, whose name means he grasps or he cheats, begins his life grasping at the heel of his twin brother Esau. Jacob comes out of the womb holding on to the ankle of his brother because he's trying to pull himself forward so he can be the firstborn and thus be the one who inherits the family blessing and all the lands and the titles and everything that the firstborn gets. He begins his life trying to cheat his way ahead. And Jacob never lets this go. Later in life, he does a little bit more cheating by taking advantage of his starving brother, stealing his birthright for a bowl of stew. Then later on in the story, Jacob goes a step further by tricking his dying blind father into giving him the family blessing by dressing up and smelling like Esau. He tricks him in this way. Jacob, whose name means he tricks, he cheats, he supplants, he's not unaccustomed to bending the rules to fit his whim. So here we see him later on in Genesis. He's fled his enraged brother Esau, and he's off now wandering the wilderness, trying to wait out the rage from his brother. So he wanders away from his campsite alone when he's suddenly jumped by this man, this stranger, and they begin wrestling in the night. And in the ancient world, a wrestling match does not end with a three count. No, a wrestling match in the ancient world ends when one doesn't get up again. So Jacob, aka he cheats, does what he does best. And like a barnacle, he just grapples the stranger. I'm just going to hold on and not let go until they run out of energy. And the stranger says, let me go. Day is breaking. But Jacob says, I will not let go until you bless me. So God says, you will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and have prevailed. Jacob wrestles with God, and he wrestles through lament and through struggle and cheating, and by doing whatever he can, he receives the blessing. Although he will walk away limping, he'll walk away blessed. What these days are you wrestling with? What these days are you grappling with? What have you been lamenting? We all come here each and every Sunday with our own struggles, with heaviness and laments of our own. We come here each Sunday battle-weary from this week's wrestlings, and we've experienced this long night of the soul, and we arise each morning exhausted from the night's struggle. So I ask you again this morning, what are you wrestling with? Last week, we wrapped up our sermon series on the ELCA's vision and purpose statement. We thought this would be a good exercise, a good sermon series, because we do need to be reminded that we, All Saints Lutheran Church, are just one part of a much larger church body. We are a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and as such, we are just one part of a wider conversation of faith happening. And it's a good reminder that we belong to this body and we belong in this conversation as well. So through this vision and purpose statement, through talking out what this means for us as All Saints Lutheran Church in Norwood, Young America, we've been talking about how we are a church that values forgiveness and reconciliation, how we seek dignity and compassion and justice for all, how we are working together to make sure that this place is diverse and inclusive to all worshipers, how we do all things with courage and in openness of heart to change, and that through all things we do what we do as good stewards of God's creation and the gifts that we've been entrusted with. But maybe over this five-week series, you have felt challenged by a thing or two in that statement. Maybe you feel like you too have been wrestling with one or more of these statements. What about this statement has caused you to push back? What about this statement is still nagging at you? What are you wrestling with? I hope it didn't go in one ear and out the other, because the gospel this morning shows us that wrestling is a faithful part of what makes us disciples of Jesus. It's okay to wrestle. It's okay to push back. It's okay to challenge. It's what makes us followers of Jesus. We wrestle with this stuff for the sake of the blessing. And Jesus urges us this morning through the witness of the persistent widow to grab hold of God and never let go. True discipleship looks a lot like the widow's persistence. True discipleship looks a lot like nagging at God, wrestling with God's word until you can walk away with a blessing. So if there's something that you've been wrestling with this week, I think that's the Spirit trying to tell you something, trying to push you. And the gospel that is present in our Old and New Testament alike tells us this morning to be persistent, and not to give up heart, to take hold of the divine and never let go, despite whatever, despite injury, despite lament. That's the other end of our gospel this morning. This wrestling with God doesn't mean that we'll walk away victorious. It doesn't mean that we get off scot-free. The story of Jacob wrestling with God shows us that we will most likely walk away from this wrestling match limping. As Jacob, or maybe as we should call him, his new name, Israel walks away with a hip out of joint. Holding on to these laments, as Israel does, holding on to those struggles that we bring with us each and every Sunday morning, holding on until God bless us does not mean that we leave without injury. The blessings that we receive from God most likely will not look like blessings at all from a worldly standpoint. This life together, this life of discipleship, it will leave us walking away limping. It will leave us with scars. But because of this struggle, we will be blessed. Through this sermon series together, you may have walked away from a Sunday or two limping, feeling like you were struggling and wrestling through it with us. But I'm so glad that you've come back. I'm glad that you grabbed hold of God and refused to let go, because that's what it means to be a disciple in this walk of faith that we share. This is what it means to be church. We will not agree on much of anything, to be honest. In this world today, we seem to argue and scream about just about everything, but if we can persist in this place and wrestle together with respect and love and faithfulness, if we continue this struggle together through it and refuse to let go of God in the process, through this wrestle and through this struggle, we will walk away with a blessing of God. And part of this blessing is this life together, this community of mutual love and support. Because of God's goodness, through our wrestling, we have received the blessing of this life together. So thank you for striving with us. Thank you for walking alongside us. Thank you for wrestling with us. And thanks be to God for the blessing that this struggle brings to our life. Amen.